If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Is tedious on the rightstuff.biz.
Hello, thank you for tuning in to the free edition of the Daily Shoah on the rightstuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed, and we need you to change that. See, the rightstuff.biz is 100% listener funded. We have no sponsors, we have no mega donors, we have no shadowy helicopter donors coming in and saving our ass. We need you to support us in our efforts to do these shows. So please navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall and follow the instructions. Create an account. Create an order. We sell subscriptions monthly, quarterly, twice yearly, and yearly. It's a little bit complicated because of the rampant censorship we've had to endure. So you'll have to pay with cryptocurrency, money orders by mail, e-checks, or you can navigate to my Odyssey channel, create an account on Odyssey, and you can pay me with your credit card. Thank you, and enjoy the first half of the show. Thank you.
Ah, yes, new year, same old theme song.
This is the good stuff, the right stuff.
Jewish apocalypse.
Just two more weeks until the new Daily Show of theme song.
Men of our race are still being born with the right stuff.
Welcome back. What is this, number 1131, I think? Yes. Daily Show number 1131, first one of 2024. A year no one has claimed. That was the meme I was seeing. Everyone is
Wait.
What's wrong? No one has claimed.
Someone, why would someone claim 2024?
The posting that I'm seeing around the normie sphere in the Reddits, in the X.com, formerly Twitter, is people being like, nobody's claiming 2024 is going to be their year. Everybody's like, yeah, I don't think so. So I guess the masses are sad and tired and depressed. They don't think this is their year. They don't think 2023 was their year either. So I don't know, America. I'm sorry. I hope you get some therapy soon. Maybe 2025. Just a weird sentiment out there. I don't know what it means. It's almost like
there's not really much optimism in the world right now.
I think 2024 is going to be a great year for me.
Personally, or just
you mean like painting like figures and stuff and doing that content? And
no, I just think in general, it's gonna be a fantastic year for
there
me.
There you go. There you
it's
go.
Human.
I'm gonna go along.
I think I'm gonna be in really good shape by the time the weather warms up. Been lifting again.
Yeah, I've been running. Well, big scare quotes. Big scare
quotes. I think 2024 is going to be better than 2023 was for me.
I think. I'm going to go along with the normie sphere. I'm going to not alienate any of the working class. I'm going to say it's going to be a terrible year. I'm very sad about it. No optimism. See, that's how
I'm actually really why are you ruining 2024?
Because the normies
he ruins everything.
I am in touch with the public. I know what makes them tick. No one likes 2024. Everybody's upset. Let's go, Brandon. Insurrections. Barnum Blomf. MJF.
That's just been going on for the last several years, though.
Yeah, but I mean, it's extra 2024-y now, though. It's all coming to a
head.
2023,
it's going to be definitely better for me because I remember, like, I kicked off 2023, like, literally thinking I was going to die.
Oh, yeah. Never walk again?
I'm not going to die, so, and I know now that, well, I'm going, I mean, I will, obviously, but not hopefully anytime soon, but, you know, so I already know that much. I don't have that hanging over my head.
That's good, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I might have ALS or multiple sclerosis. I might never be able to.
Oh, yeah, you have. It's like,
a lot of people forget that happened to me.
Well, I don't think you told everybody.
Like several months that I've been able to walk now. So,
like, Dr. House was not working on you. There were like several misdiagnoses. Actually.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, it's actually like Dr. House was working on you. Like, my wife was just because, you know, we have the Peacock. I bought Peacock in November to watch some stupid like WWF pay-per-view. Instead of buying pay-per-view, you can just buy Peacock. So she's been watching like old episodes of House.
And it literally is like they get the diagnosis wrong like six times before they finally solve the guy's problem. So that's really what happened to you. So it's like you're on an episode of House. Was there a lot of snarky like sarcasm and people popping Vicodins, or was it just more boring than that? Because House makes it seem really exciting.
It was a lot more shitty than that.
Like, oh, well, people, differential diagnosis.
I practically had to do it. I was dying.
We think he has ALS. He has Lou Gehrig's disease. He resembles Lou Gehrig. That's what we're going to do. And then you aggressively treat ALS for like 2 weeks to go, that was wrong.
There's no fucking treatment for it.
Oh. Well, you know what I
there
mean?
There is no treatment
for
ALS.
The aggressive
ALS.
Treatment
you
is like they
slowly
just.
Slowly die.
Like, yeah, they just make you sad. You. All right, the treatment is they make you sad for 2 weeks. And then they tell you, oh, we're wrong. There's a bone spur in your fucking spine.
Well, I had to be Dr. House myself,
yes.
Remember?
Yes.
I had to tell the guy, I want my thoracic spine MRI'd.
Why?
And
nothing
once
ever,
I did that,
there's nothing ever
like,
in
oh,
there.
Oh, that's the problem.
Oh, look, in your thoracic
oh,
spine.
Yeah,
oh, wow, right,
saw
where,
that right away.
You mean you have a problem right where it hurts?
Okay. this is America. You bootstrap your own healthcare around here.
That's true.
You had to basically tell them, like, you're well, before we jump right to ALS... Why don't we look at my entire spine?
Why don't we
just to check? Just to check. Just, you know, to check. Just to check.
The incentives are
before
so fucked up.
Before we go right to ALS.
American private healthcare, too. It's like the work with your incentives, bro. Your incentives are to like do and bill for that third spinal image, right? Didn't they do your neck and they did your lumbar? It's like you didn't find do the middle part or wow. Is it like a buy two get one free?
That
and they don't
so
wanna...
weird about it is that I asked them to do it, and Doc was like, "Yeah, maybe," and then he never prescribed it. And then I went back the next day and I called him. I was like, "Look, he never prescribed that. Can I get it?" And they were like, "Oh yeah.
Don't
you
do
can
that.
Do that." I was just like, "Oh my god." Anyway,
it's 2024, bros. Now what are we gonna do? Well, I guess we'll open with the thing from prep we've been talking about briefly. Unless, do you want to talk about gay first? Well,
it's tied.
I'll be more specific. Do you want to talk about President Gay from Harvard, or do you want to talk about the Spencer Quinn line that I've been saying?
Yeah, well, it's I get you. Oh,
which
yeah.
gay are we talking
the,
about?
I see the game you're playing there.
Ooh. Game.
But yeah, no, I mean, we can talk about
gay.
Because that's all tied together, right? Like the resignation.
Gay.
Yeah,
and you know, Christopher Rufo was out there.
Yeah, Rufo,
and it seems like Spencer Quinn is sort of following he's like doing Christopher Rufo plus or something like that, or Christopher Rufo at home or something like that. I don't know, because he's basically taking a similar perspective, like
gay.
the idea that like for lack of a better way of putting this. The Jewish backlash against woke because of the response of some elements on the left to the Israel-Gaza war, the idea that that can benefit white people if white people refrain from offending Jews is just wrong. I mean, I think this is the thesis that was being pursued here. I mean, I'm pretty sure that this is what was being said in this article. Correct me if I'm wrong on that.
We could have an alliance, but not. I'm not actually proposing an alliance. This was when he was challenged on that by Klaus Brinker in the comments. I'm not actually proposing an alliance here. It's like, oh, well, what did you mean by, like, be allies with Jews while they...
I'm kind of curious what the actual upshot is. Because he's saying, like, all we have to do is like not burn down menorahs or something. I'm like, right, but we weren't going to do that anyway. Although
it's the same old quote unquote dissident right thing is the same or the same old countercurrents thing is like the Jews aren't asking us what we think, but let's go along with what they want to do. And maybe they'll notice us and like us. And therefore we can continue tacitly supporting Zionism and Judaism by not acknowledging it. It's just like, it's the same old thing. It's the same old ineffective. And we're going to pretend that that's a novel take that's going to lead to something positive for us when everyone knows it's not going to.
He opens up this idea. It seems that the diaspora Jews are beginning to wake up to the violence of the left, especially the anti-Jewish left.
This implies that
waking
there was
up.
Some.
There's
this
no
implies that they were
left.
Asleep. Like, what? The idea they're going, they're like waking up. Like, what were they not?
Jews,
what
Mike.
Were they missing? Like what? What was they like?
No, it's
what were they?
It's just made up.
No, this drives me crazy.
I know
this shit drives.
It's just
it actually now that we're doing it, like I'll just go all in because, like, What the fuck were the Jews like asleep at the wheel about? What is actually happening here?
There's some sort of magic trick where they think that like the Jews noticing they need to rein in the pro-Palestinian like brown leftists on College Camp High and elsewhere elsewhere in the country. Like the fact that they have this ideological.
That's Camp High with like an AE, by the way. Camp High.
Like fucking apple pie. I'm on a diet. No more.
C-A-M-P-A-E, like Camp High. No, it's probably not. But yeah. Anyway.
But just saying, like, that's the thing. Like Rush Limbaugh used to do that. College Camp High. That's where I'm getting that from. But the idea it's an ideological loose end. The brown people that they use for all manner of other like anti-whiteness. It's like, yeah, they have this sort of confusion about anti-colonialism narratives. And they're just like, hey, wait a minute, you're not supposed to do that to Israel. And he's mistaking that as like a thing that they can't just like fix on its own. Oh no, if they're going to fix that, they're going to have to become pro-white. Like if they're like willing to stop the support of Hamas, like suddenly they're going to stop like black crime in America. Like no,
for example, is Harvard more pro-white now that Gay has resigned? Are we excited to believe Harvard is more pro-white? And of course, shuffles right into the seat of power there? But this Jew, what's his name? Alan Garber or something? Alan Grabler or something? Like the guy who was the provost, his name is like Alan Garber, I think. He's a Jew. He's a Zionist Jew who is now sitting right in the seat of power. What Jews are actually doing.
Oh, here's something interesting. So just 2 minutes ago, Ann Coulter tweeted, Harvard admits 18% white men into their school, just in case you were wondering. Princeton, 14%. So,
I'm assuming she's disaggregating Jews there. Because that's the only way that actually makes sense, that she's separating Jews and whites.
I don't know.
Yes.
She's not saying so.
Less than 20%.
But she has to be, because otherwise, because when you include Jews as white, you get like 50%, a little bit over 50% white people.
Okay.
Well, no, that's absolutely correct. No, there's no question.
Hold on.
This stat's been going around for a while. But,
well, let's get to this article real fast here, because he's going to lay this out for you. He says, when Foxman and Harris speak of amending civil rights laws and rethinking DEI, they're calling for less diversity. That is, fewer brown and black people at our top universities. They're placing themselves in opposition to affirmative action, which has been a mainstay of the left since the 1970s. This will open the door for more whites in places such as Harvard.
No, it won't. Why would changing out the president, like the president of Harvard is a diversity black, changing it back to a Jew? Like, I don't, the line of thinking just makes no sense. It's like, well, I just need an article to post.
So, first of all, there's no evidence that a policy like this is actually being carried forward, right? So when they got Claudine Gay was forced to step down from Harvard, the plagiarism scandal was something that had happened and had been internally investigated and had been brushed under the rug until the thing with Israel and Gaza happened, until the Elise Stefanik did the ambush interview. And Claudine Gay, according to every single newspaper, every single Jewish news outlet, fumbled her response. So basically, what is happening is the right wing, the Christopher Rufo right, the anti-CRT, the anti-critical race theory right, the anti-DEI right, those people who are against those things but refuse to be pro-white and refuse to be critical Jews are assisting the Jews in browbeating the left into giving Israel an unprincipled exception.
Right.
That is what is happening, is the Jews are going to cobble together a left that is like, it's going to be like the Richie Torres left. It's going to be filled with gay Puerto Ricans, but they're going to be pro-Zionist.
Right.
And they're going to look the other way on Israel genocide. And by delivering and meting out severe consequences to people at the top of the academic profession as a warning sign to everybody in that profession that like, hey, toe the Zionist line or you get fucking shut out. Ultimately, they are reshaping what the left is going to look like. It's still going to be anti-white, but they are going to make it be so they don't have this thing with Zionism anymore. And even the leftist take on Zionism for a while benefited Jews because it always would ultimately pin the blame on whites. The problem being, though, that if you have enough people that still believe in that, and if they then become a significant part of the new power structure, that might actually like threaten funding to Israel. So it went from being like, here's how we distract this segment of the left, keeping them from being anti-Semitic. Now it's a much bigger problem. So now they actually have to make the left just either be pro-Zionist or shut the fuck up about it.
So right. We get a non sequitur as soon as we get finished with this discussion about Harvard opening its doors to white people. He says, so how should the dissident right respond to this? It would be short-sighted, not to mention spiteful and childish, to be as unwelcoming to the Jews as the left currently is. When opportunity knocks, you don't tell it to buzz off, no matter how loudly it bangs on the door.
Yeah. What's the opportunity? Make the
most of. Yeah, what? It's I'm sorry, I'm not in charge up. Of Harvard.
It's just made up.
Are Jews knocking on my door asking me to co-sign them on something? They're not.
Where are the Jews leaving the left?
Where is opportunity knocking, though? Like,
Abe Fox,
opportunity is knocking in making the Jews not feel comfortable anywhere. That's the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
The opportunity is for the Jews to get more white people on the right to be anti-Israel, so the Jews aren't comfortable on the right either. That's the opportunity.
Yeah, if you want
to
make
it, that's what we need to be doing.
He says that whites now have some powerful Jewish allies in the fight against racial diversity. Okay, where?
No, they don't.
Who?
The Jews are the force behind racial diversity. Indeed, all these. Right. This is their project. You just live here.
He also.
Which Jews are you talking about?
Here's something else that's a little bit – this is a bit of a nitpick. Like, I could have forgiven this if not for the rest of the problems with this article. He talks about how, like, the Jews are largely responsible for today's multiracial leftist coalition because of, like, the Hart-Celler Act. And I'm like, it's a lot more than the Hart-Celler Act. In fact, yeah. The demographics of America – most of this fucking non-white immigration to America is just illegal anyway.
Yeah.
It's not like Hart-Celler. Like, I mean, Hart-Celler was bad. Don't get me wrong; it should be overturned. But like, frankly, like, it didn't actually like open the spigot like they thought. Like, just allowing illegals to start coming in the 90s is what really did it. Like the Hart-Celler Act, yes, that was bad, but a tiny percentage of immigration to America is legal. It's a tiny percentage, the vast majority is totally illegal, and since they just started letting illegal immigrants come and stay in like the 80s and 90s, that's when this shit has really started to shift. And today it's like no one even bothers to legally immigrate to America.
Speaking of that, this was the line I wanted to read to you that the guys on my stream were telling me about last night that I thought you would get a good kick out of. Was so he says, if we roughly define the right as that which is good for white people, and its opposite, the left, as that which is good for non-white people. And he goes on to talk about something else. But like, what is this construct that he put together? Like, in what universe is that what right and left is?
That was the question I had when I was reading it yesterday. Like, what the fuck?
Like, Mike, you just mentioned illegal immigration in the 80s and 90s. It's like... So are you calling your precious Ronald Reagan a leftist then? Because he did that. He amnestied.
I mean, if you want to construct that as your aegis or your lens that you view things through, then fine. But then you're going to be classifying a hell of a lot more things as left than right. And what people think of as the right, which, again, what right and left are is an eternal argument that you can never really fully define, but people kind of get it, right?
Yeah.
At least in terms of what it is on the American spectrum generally. But he even then says at the end, he says, but remember the last time the Jews did like a heel turn and went from left to right was when they went from like being communists to being like neoconservatives. I'm like, right, and that wasn't something that wasn't good for white people. So that right away blows your, and he himself acknowledges this. So that right away like blows out of the water your good, like right wing good for whites. It's also an example of exactly why Jews turning to the right, which they are doing, that is happening. But that's not like,
well, they're turning to the right. They are, they're turning, I mean, to the right.
We've been talking about that on this site for a year that Jews are shifting over to be more right wing, according to like the American perspective of right wing. But, like, again, the last time a bunch of Jews did that, yes, they created neoconservatism, and that's been disastrous.
And this is going to be neoconservatism. Like, they're turning to the right.
It's also, frankly, been disastrous for a lot of non-white people, too. Like, Arabs and Muslims, like, neoconservatism has been terrible for them, too. So it's not even that, like, our interests are always diametrically opposed to those of non-whites. Like, right now, our interests are not diametrically opposed to those of you know, Palestinians and Iranians. Like, our interests are not in conflict with one another.
That's where you're wrong, kiddo. I mean, that's when you go into these sort of people that refer to themselves as dissident right, you say, like, no, we have to be pro-Israel because we have to be against these brown people. Like, there's no examination of the issue other than just support
Israel.
I'm sorry,
I have no respect for that.
Because,
viewpoint.
I know, neither do I, because the first principle among these people is protect Israel and protect Jews at all costs. And that's really what it's about. Like Spencer,
well, that's
Spencer
the upshot
Quinn,
of any argument
like,
they
Spencer
make.
Quinn,
like, that's the only one that ends up benefiting.
Spencer Quinn is not Spencer Quinn is not trying to secure anything for white people right here. He's trying to get quote-unquote white dissidents to just be on the side of Jews because that's what he's about. To preserve, like, we're trying to take the dissident space where anti-Semitism would blossom and flourish and just claw you back onto the wrong side of the issue by bringing up brown people.
I'm not gonna take part in that.
That's what,
like,
they do.
No, like, you should be anti-Israel. You should cheer every time the Palestinians blow up a fucking Jew tank.
It's great. But that's where they're
so
at.
I'm sorry. Like, that's just what it is. But just call me bitter, call me angry.
Did you know that the rightstuff.biz is 100% listener funded? The only reason you're hearing this right now is because you're only getting half the show. There's so much content you're missing, and you'll never hear these ads again if you get behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall.
Care, yeah, I am those things.
But to that metric that he sets up, if we define the right as that which is good for white people, and it's opposite the left, that which is good for non-white people, it's like, I mean, so who are you turning to then? Like, in American politics, the Jews are the left, and they can't turn right because they're always anti-white.
Right.
There's no party you can vote for because it's all like what I mean. The conservative side of the discussion. This is what I was talking about last night. There was somebody that wrote to me last week or the week before that was familiar with. Do you remember the representative from Washington State who had the he had a staffer that originally had a butt fucking video in the House chambers somewhere. Remember they had the one in the Senate chambers, and that was a Democrat. So the news, like, a couple days later, like, oh yeah, well, this one time this Republican staffer did it. What do you think about that? So the guy who had the Republican staffer that was doing, like, he was behind some scheme in which there was a bunch of agricultural firms out that way. They were being forced to buy, like, machinery. And he, like, was like, no, we're going to put the kibosh on that, and we're going to have you, like, just hire more illegals. So, like, was that right? Was that on the right? Was that pro-white? How did that work out? This is your right. I don't think there's anything about the American right that's pro-white.
There is. Yeah. Conflating the right with anything remotely related to pro-whiteness is just bizarre. It's just a strange thing to see on the internet, especially after how many years we've been doing these politics, to see someone just post that.
I see someone just
type that out, post it.
Arguably, when we started doing these politics, that was a fairly common thing. But it's like we've been seasoned enough now that we're like, yeah, nah. And the right has gotten more anti-white throughout those years. Like, throughout the years of Trump and post-Trump and everything, like, all the – you know, we started doing this slightly before Trump became a thing, but quickly blossomed as he became a thing. But, the Trump right is anti-white.
The well that they run to is, let's find more diversity. They want to replace white politicians
They do their own affirmative action without any mandate. Like, they jump through that hoop without the government telling them. Mm-hmm. Like, they literally cannot wait to put, like, niggers and faggots, like, out in front of every single thing that they do in this multiracial coalition of the working class bullshit. So affirmative action also isn't simply just, like, a legal mandate. It's actually like an assumed way of being in America. It's an assumed thing that everyone, and even the right, fucking can't get away from this. The official, the mainstream, the Republican Party right cannot get away from the fact that your thing is considered more legitimate and better when it has more diversity, meaning fewer whites at the top of it and speaking for it. And they absolutely cannot resist putting blacks out in front of every fucking thing on the conservative right. And there's no affirmative action court or legal mandate that they do it. They're doing it on their own.
Right.
They're doing it because they have imbibed and believe in anti-whiteness. And they believe, as Christopher Rufo said, he didn't even pretend the Claudine Gay thing was anything for white people. He said it was a victory for colorblind equality, but it wasn't even that.
Victory for Jews.
It was just a victory for Jews. Like, and the only reason you got Claudine Gay out was because of a highly particularistic Jewish interest in not having a bunch of people screaming about Palestine on Harvard's campus. That's it. That is it. The plagiarism thing was downstream from that and would have been covered up if not for that. And then Borzoi and I last night covered another article about how it was that the president of Colombia avoided all of this. And the article basically was quoting a bunch of Jewish trustees from the Colombia board who are like major board members and donors who are supporting the president because she shut down Students for Justice in Palestine and she shut down Jewish Voices for Peace. And she doesn't allow those groups to have protests and events on campus. And she has never had a meeting with them. Now, Jew Voices for Peace is a gay op in its own right, but be that as it may. That's something that a lot of these big Jewish donors and such wanted shut down. Because what they don't want is a bunch of Jews getting involved in these kind of politics and creating problems, whatever. It doesn't – be that as it may. But I don't support Jew Voices for Peace. That's a fucking scam too. But like, it's just an older style of thing that they're doing. But the point being that she shut down these groups, and she's basically all these Jews are out here praising this woman. Her name is Nemat Shafik, and she's an Arab. She's Egyptian, but she's doing the Jewish bidding on this. And so that's how she avoided it. So the article was literally, it was from last week in the New York Times, like, how did the Columbia president avoid this controversy? Well, she just did what the Jew donors and trustees and board members wanted.
Shut down the Jewish gay op versions of pro-Palestine protests on their campus.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why you have a Jewish run protest movement so that Jews can be like, hey, shut that down. Right. Yeah, sure.
Now, Students for Justice in Palestine, I think, is probably not necessarily a gay op. They probably have some shitty, stupid perspectives, but they're not necessarily actually a gay op. Because a lot of the pro-Palestine left in America does have just a bunch of dumb perspectives, like one of them being that, like, anti-Semitism is, like, the main thing they police for. I'm like, why? Why isn't, like, anti-Palestinianism the main thing you fucking police
for? What about
anti-white?
Why don't we police for anti-white?
Yeah, they don't police for that at all. In fact, they're incentivized and induced to like actually blame white supremacy for Israel, which is just retarded. Like, you know, it's just stupid. Like, it's just not true. It's another thing that's just not true. And for a while, Jews were happy to have this just stupid dichotomy of the issue where it's like
you call,
but now they're not.
You call Israel a white supremacist colonial state, and Jews just laugh. They know they don't have to deal with it.
Right.
They just shrug. As like, oh, okay. As they, I mean,
right. Well, eventually, see, the problem is though that they would have to deal with that if those people made up the entire non-Jewish members of like the elite class or all the non-Jewish functionaries in America. Like, they still need to have the functionaries be pro-Israel. Mm-hmm, so that as they did start to have a problem. And the problem was that you have so many non-whites, and this is sort of a base thing that you're inducting these non-whites into, that now you're worried that when you bring them in to be functionaries in your elite system, that they're going to carry that belief over. So now they need to construct, like, they basically need to make the left like the Richie Torres left. And this is also why you have out here a bunch of these kikes that are like praising like John Fetterman, and now they're praising Richie Torres. We read this article last night by this Jew who was doing like a profile in Courage of like John Fetterman and Richie Torres.
Yeah.
I just about fucking lost my shit. Like, no,
they're calling John Fetterman like a maverick. He's
calling him like a hero. Like the best is here's the thing. Here's a question. This is something I said last night, and I'm just reiterating it because I did all my takes last night and I don't have any fresh ones yet. But like,
the tick meter is recharging.
And no, it has to. It takes a little time, right? We haven't, like, this is always a problem on Wednesday's show, right? Like, my take meter has not like recharged. Like, like that bar hasn't refilled up.
Yeah,
I need to eat more pieces of chicken or like run around and drink a potion or something. But like, I'm referring the only game I played, like The Witcher, which is one of the last like games like that I played, where you could eat like chicken legs and get your health back. But here's something. Like, when you say that John Fetterman or Richie Torres are like profiles in Courage, why? No, but think about this for a second. So typically, if you say somebody is taking like a courageous stand against like a crowd of people on like a moral issue, you think that this is somebody who is valuing a moral premise over expediency. The core of the issue, the core of the moral ideal, is something that they are putting ahead of like even their own personal benefit, and they're taking a risk, right? So you're like, okay. The better example that would be someone who's vocally pro-Palestine, someone who's like, I know that Jews are running the system. I know they're running U.S. foreign policy. I know that Israel is getting all the benefits and everyone is pro-Israel. But because what Israel is doing is so bad, I'm going to stand up and say no to Israel. And this is wrong what you're doing. Right. That's actually someone who's doing something courageous based on a moral principle. And the moral principle isn't simply like, I like Palestinians. The moral principle is Palestinian children are getting bombed. Palestinians are getting robbed of their land and their country. These things are wrong. It's wrong to do that. So I'm going to stand up for the people who that's being done to, because it's wrong to do that to people, right? You shouldn't bomb 10,000 children. So I stand up for Palestine, right? So, but when you go to Israel and you're saying like, you know, this Jewish conceit that the left is so anti-Semitic and so anti-Israel, it's not really true. But let's say it is. What's the moral principle there? I'm standing up for Israel because what? Like, what's the underlying? You see my question? Like, what's the underlying moral good, like moral thing that you are representing when you're like, I'm standing with Israel? Like, what is it? You can't identify
it. Machiavellian fucking political calculation. Maybe I might get something out of it.
Well, that's what's really going on. But I'm wondering, what would even be the pretense of the actual moral principle that you pretend to stand for when you say, I stand with Israel, and a bunch of Jews clap and say, thank you for standing up for what's right. Well, what's actually right? What is actually like the right thing? Now, I know Jews don't understand morality the way normal people do. So for them, simply standing up for Jews is like the right thing, because Jews are just morally right all the time, because that's what their dumb culture and religion teaches them. But for people who have an idea of right and wrong that's outside of something like that, like say you have a universalist ideal of like bombing children is bad, which Jews don't have. They don't. That's not in their moral compass, but it's in mine. So that's why I say I will stand with Palestine, because bombing children is bad. Yes, even if they're not white. So what is it? I don't know. Like, there is no like larger, greater universalist moral principle upon which you would support Israel based on, other than like, I like Jews. Like, that's the only one you could even identify. You have to just adopt the Jewish morality, which is like Jews can do no wrong, in order to be like, I'm going to stand with Israel. And for that to actually be some kind of moral
stance. Or you have to be like, you're supporting their world domination project, which is what Zionism is. There's no other, like, you just like that. Like,
right. Right, so you just like that, or you're just willing to go along with that to get personal privileges out of it, right? Like, that's what it comes down to. All these people are willing to go along with it because they get power and privileges and money, wealth, fame, and they get – it's actually the heart – it's actually really the heart of moral cowardice. It's the absolute definition of moral cowardice. In order to get personal benefits, you're just cooperating with evil. I mean, straight up, like, that's what you're doing. Like, when you go out there and you do a John Fetterman and you wave a little Jew flag and you go out there and you stand with all these kikes and you accept their accolades and their gifts and their benefits that they're pouring on you for this stance, that is a absolute definition of moral cowardice and evil. Like, that's what you're doing. You're just cooperating with evil because it benefits you personally. That's what it is.
So
there's really no other way to look at it.
It's got this theory that essentially the highly diverse left is going to be pretty much putting the moves on Jews in America. They're gonna be really oppressing them. As this diverse Jew hatred metastasizes, Jewish power brokers such as Foxman and Harris will change from merely opposing affirmative action to opposing non-white immigration in general. It's taking other effectively pro-white stances as well. Okay, so this is just basic bitch rightoid rhetoric that's like just out in the ecosystem right now, which is that you could somehow leverage Jewish opinion on this kind of stuff to like shoot down immigration. And it's just
why hasn't that happened? We have a fucking Orthodox Jew as the Homeland Security Secretary. Why hasn't it happened? There has not been. This fucking, you know, I'm amazed that somebody would say this. We were shooting this down in October and we were getting pushback for it because there was people that like wanted to believe it. But the fucking jury's out now. The data is in, or whatever the fuck the expression is. It's been proven. We're now 3 months into this. In what, like 3-4 days, we're gonna be 3 months into this war that these Jews have been involved in. And where's the fucking stemming of the immigration tide? It's gotten worse. And Alejandro Mayorkas has no intention of changing it. And he just went down and he met with the fucking president of Mexico and agreed to open more border crossings. They had like briefly closed some border crossings in December because of the flood was just like too much to handle. On the American side, they went and they had a meeting with AMLO. Fucking both Jews, both Mayorkas and Blinken did this last week.
Yeah.
And they reopened those crossings. And they said it was a very productive meeting. And they've worked out some of the thorny issues around immigration and stuff. So where is this border closing? These two fucking guys, Mayorkas and Blinken, who basically run our country.
These fucking guys.
Sorry.
These two fucking guys, these two Jews, they basically run our country. One runs a foreign policy, one runs a domestic policy, and one runs immigration, one runs the War Department, and like neither of them have any inkling. They're both hype. They're both super Zionists. They're both Jews. They're both big Zionists.
Do you think if you signal to them like as a dissident rightist that like, you know, I think you should genocide all those dirty brown Palestinians. They'll be like, you know what? On second thought, let's close that border with Mexico. Let's have another meeting with AMLO. Let's shut it down. I'm enjoying this temporary allyship with an obscure like right wing website filled with fags on the internet.
No, because this is just something where this is just something where reality has to be a metric here. Like, if that were true. Yes, Abe Foxman said that, but Abe Foxman's in retirement. He's not running the ADL anymore.
Ah!
Sorry. And so, you know, again, you can get it. Maybe those Jews saying that are actually just getting, maybe when you write your article, the Jews that say those kinds of things are actually getting what they want. And that's really all that they want. Not necessarily from countercurrents, because I doubt they really give a shit, but people like Christopher Rufo. And others who are employees of Jews, right? Christopher Rufo works for Jews. He works for the Manhattan Institute.
Right.
So maybe the whole point of that is just to keep alive the support for Zionism amongst the phony right in America, or the real right in America, where whatever you want to put it, the GOP MAGA-tard right wing that is like superficially against things that are anti-white but refuses to call them anti-white and comes up with euphemisms. Maybe when they get behind Zionism, that's just all the reward that Abe Foxman needs, and that's all he's really looking for. And there's no intention, and there has been no movement at all on the immigration question. Right in the middle of the worst immigration crisis in the country's history, which has been caused by Zionist Jews. Like, this is the other thing. Like, let's not – I hate this fucking shit when people sit around and theorize without looking at what's actually happening. Look at the actual things going on in the world. Zionist Jews are running our immigration policy, and they are not slowing down the immigration in the middle of this Israel war. That's all I need to look at. I don't need to look at like these theories on where, in theory, the right wing would be positioned and the left wing would be this way. No, what's really going on? I don't care what someone's yelling in the street or what someone's saying in a column.
You don't want to do like a thought experiment? He's got one.
Okay.
So to follow up that last paragraph, Ferretti says, this is a good thing and whites should do nothing to hinder it from happening. It reminds me of university basketball programs in the 1960s, which were forced to recruit black players if they wished to remain competitive. You can have your backs while we have ours. Or you can have your blacks while we have ours. Well, in the 2020s, the left can have their Jews while we on the right have ours.
No, we don't.
Okay, yeah, first of all, we don't have any. Things will begin to balance out as the overturn
Jews have their right. Goys. That's what happens.
Yeah, that's exactly how it works. Where it belongs. It also beats the alternative. If the right proved completely inhospitable to Jews, as I'm sure some of us would want, that would facilitate a mass Jewish departure to Israel or somewhere else.
Oh.
A good thing? Well, yes, if 90% of the influential Jews were left-wing and the remaining populace were racially homogenous, but what if that number were 65%, with whites representing less than half of the remaining population? Would it be so good then? With enough anti-Jewish misbehavior by the left, those numbers could become a reality in the next 5 or 10 years. Then what? So if he's talking about a scenario where literally all of the Jews flee to Israel and it's just us as, like, let's say a 40% portion of the population with, like, all these other racially diverse ethnic groups around us, I think a lot of people would actually prefer that scenario. I think that would be more workable in a lot of ways, because then you don't have to deal with certain
structural
problems.
Jews are our competitors for running institutions.
Yeah.
So if they go away, that's less competition. That's better. Like, and if they go away to Israel and they get hit by fucking Palestinian RPGs, then even better. Like, you know, like, yeah. Literally, if but this whole thing of Jews, like, I'm going to run away to, is they're not. They're afraid of going there because it's a fucking war. And they're afraid of getting killed. but if they were, like, that would be fine. Like, go there and get involved in the war.
Though, it's like, what about South Africa? I mean, whites could be a minority of the population and be doing just fine as long as they're able to take care of business, as long as no one's stopping them from doing what they want to do.
Right. Generally speaking, the white population...
Hey, what's up? You know you're only hearing half of the show, right? And it's being indiscriminately interrupted with these sales pitches because we just don't know how else to get your attention and get you over there. Our website, our podcasts are 100% listener-funded. They are funded with your subscription, so if you could please do that. Help us out, therightstuff.biz/paywall. Thanks.
There will be white liberals that will be doing white liberal stuff, but that will be a minority of the white population. They will easily be outvoted, and they'll easily just be, everyone will just mock them and make fun of them. Jews are the problem. And it's Jewish media control. Jewish media control also crafts these narratives, and I would expect that without Jewish media control, you'd have significantly fewer libtards, and also right-wingers would fall more naturally into the people that fall on the right now would more naturally fall into a sort of generally pro-white viewpoint of things. Because you see that. Like, there are tendencies amongst white people that are right-wing that are sort of kind of inherently that way, but they have to then get tricked into thinking in all these stupid ways. So, really, Jewish media control is why people's brains are fried. Mm-hmm. And Jewish political control is why there's no good outlet. And, so that's the issue. That is the issue. Like, Basically, this is simply like, let's just do what Jews want and hope that they give us, like, a cookie. And their Jews are like, well, you know, we don't need to give you a cookie right now.
Yeah, no
cookie. I mean, in order to get a cookie, you have to present them, like,
Jews know you'll always fall for that. I mean, that's sort of why we're so upset about this.
Well, like I don't think many people are going to fall for this.
Okay, I mean, I'm talking to the people that bill themselves as the dissident right.
Oh,
They always are willing to fall for this trick. They're so desperate, and they do it every time. And the Jews know it. Like, you're not fooling anybody.
Yeah, so. I mean, you know, this was the whole Thule-tide thing when the war first broke out.
Right.
Like, never side with brown people. Like,
never
you know,
side with Jews.
Definitely. And then eventually, it's just like he just came out as like, yeah, I'm just rooting for Israel. And it's like, well, why? Well, and then it's also like, yeah, but I don't, you know, this immigration benefit has yet to materialize anywhere, whether in America or the UK or anywhere. It hasn't happened. And even if you did get some very specific targeted, you know, deportations or criminal proceedings against some of the more vocal Palestinian activists, that's not a general demographic. That doesn't do anything for the demographic trend. Like, you would need to have large numbers of removals of people and the shutting down of the immigration pipeline, which is facilitated by Jews in Europe as well. Targeting a few vocal activists, it doesn't do shit. It's all it does is make the Jews more comfortable. Like, that's it. Like, that's all any of this is geared towards. Wow. That's all what the stuff in the colleges is more geared towards. Basically, the Jews are going to force these fucking Ivy League institutions to just make sure that Jewish students are always comfortable on their campuses, and that the pro-Palestine or anti-Israel sentiment is very, very contained and almost becomes something that is like basically the way being pro-white is in America today, where like you actually are afraid, a lot of people in mixed company, to even say anything that could be construed as pro-white, because you're just, you know, even though there might be some people that might agree with you, you don't know who they are, and you're afraid of exposing yourself because you're afraid of personal and professional consequences for doing it.
Yeah.
For being seen as a Nazi or a racist, right? And so they're trying to construct a wall of unacceptability around the Palestinian thing like that by associating it with like mass rape and terrorism and all that shit, right? And they're trying to, you know, they're doing these things. Now, whether they'll be successful or not, I don't know. But this is their goal. Their goal is to take the multiracial coalition on the left and force it to have a carve out, unprincipled carve out for Israel. That's what's going on, and that's probably what's going to happen. And just force the institutions that are producing the elites in this country to just be more openly Zionist. That's it. And that's what they're trying to do. Whether they're going to be successful, I don't know. It's going to be a bit of a fight for them. There's a lot of shit they've got to untangle, but that's what they're going to do. And they have no intention of like letting white people become more competitive in America as a result. Like they have zero intention of that. There's no slowing down of immigration. There doesn't seem to be any move to admit more whites into these elite positions. None of it. And also, even if they did, and those white people were just like shabloskoys, then fucking cares, because they're not going to change any of the policies either. The white people that are in elite positions in America now are fucking dog shit. So, like, you know, they can all go to hell too.
That would be the best move the Jews could make. Get a bunch of shabbos whites and put them in elite positions to be shabbos, and everyone can say, see? Look what happens when you totally do everything Jews want you to do. Stop Jaysburg. Well,
they've already done that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's they have plenty of.
I mean, that's another thing that they'll say is like, well, stop complaining about them. A good white person that works with Jews, look how far they'll advance. Look what could happen to you. You won't have to be on a.
Yeah, but they don't. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
they don't advance the interests of the white race, though. They just advance their own narrow career interests.
By being elitists under Jewish control. What are you talking about? Stop Jaysburging. This is crazy.
I don't think the author of this work has a clear idea of what he's suggesting here.
Well, he's trying to run away from it when it's presented to him, saying, I'm also suggesting.
Like, as you get towards the end here, he said, that said, none of these efforts would be worthwhile if whites repeat their mistakes of the past. The last time Jews wandered in large numbers toward the right was the 1960s and 70s, when neocons such as Irving Kristol and Norman Podhoretz split with the communist left over Soviet atrocities and the growing anti-Jewish sentiment.
No, they didn't. It wasn't the Soviet atrocities. It was the fucking Six-Day War, you faggot. Like, Jesus Christ. It was Zionism. Yeah. And they'll tell you this themselves.
Yeah.
What Soviet atrocities? What are you talking about?
Well, it's just... I don't know where he's going with this, because he talks about they eventually took over the right and purged many of its best people, such as Joe Sobran, Pat Buchanan, and Sam Francis.
Yeah, actual anti-Semites and pro-whites.
Okay, so sounds like a cautionary tale. We should just always...
Yeah,
always...
sounds like you've just like refuted your entire premise. Watch out for Jews when they start moving to the right,
because
they're going to start purging...
Oh, hold on. He thinks that you can, like, play ball with them? In order for this not to happen again, whites on the right need to always do three things when dealing with Jews. Assert their white identity, emphasize race realism, and be honest about the Jewish question.
Oh, so what Joe Sobran did.
Yeah, so do the thing that got them... Okay, how did that work? How did it work?
I mean, I'm not suggesting that like there's like sort of no hope, but like I'm saying, like, you need to maintain. I mean, you know, it's like, so what is the Jewish question, though? When you say like maintain the idea of the Jewish question, what is that Jewish question? Because for me, that means Jews can't be allowed to have power. So what's the Jewish question?
If Jews shift rightward in search of safety from the left, and we on the right are in a position to get something out of this for ourselves, this unique quid pro quo opportunity we shouldn't pass up if we want a peaceful resolution to our troubles. If we can suppress any knee-jerk anti-Jewish reactions.
None of that is on the table. A peaceful resolution to your trouble is not on the table. They're not. No one's making that offer. There's no offer to that. No one.
Why would you publish this on your website? This is embarrassing, dude.
It's like, it's the weirdest kind of gatekeeping, because it's like, it doesn't do them any good.
I don't think anyone's falling for it either.
I, judging by the fucking comment threads, I don't think so.
Yeah. I don't think anyone's going for this. Which is probably, you know, the thing is, you want to know what? Like, honestly, we had a lot to do with that change. Like, I think that, frankly, this is one of the things why we get hate in this space, is because people that want to do this kind of shit, like, we're here to fucking piss in their Cheerios all the time. Oh. And it gets people pretty angry. And, this is something that needs to be defeated.
The comment section is not having it. The author seems to have learned nothing yet, forgotten everything.
No.
Yeah, no. Like, even Greg's audience is not going to go for this. Like, even the people that read that site, they're not going to go for this. Like, and again, it's also like, you know, Greg's whole thing of, like, I like to stimulate interesting debate. I'm like,
What are you going to say?
But I'm like, yeah, but dude, like, this isn't an interesting debate.
No, this is like your...
This is like rehashing basics. Like, this is how...
This is like, I like to try to keep everybody on the wrong side of this issue so nothing actually can ever be done.
Like, just have to have this debate again. Like, we need to, you know...
But it's not a... it's never a debate. These are always just, like, dictated by people that are fags. To everyone else.
It's not even a debate. It's also not a debate from our perspective. Like, it's just a trouncing of a bad fucking take. So here we are. Here we are. But again, I also we should also reserve some ire for, like, the more relevant people, which is like the mainstream right characters who are celebrating Claudine Gay resignation,
got one right here.
As if it were some kind of victory.
I've got one right here. Again. I've got DC Drano.
Oh, hell yeah.
DC Drano takes are always just the joyous, like, they themselves need to be, like, put down the drain.
So he's got in quotes.
They themselves need to literally drink Drano. Like,
DC Drano is just, like, he is exalted today. He says, in quotes, tweeting doesn't do anything. Well, it took down Bud Light, Target, Disney, and the woke president of Harvard, so...
All those things are still around,
and the tweeting had nothing to do with any of it. Like, the president of Harvard didn't resign because DC Drano and the other kosher right people tweeted about
it. The tweets that you did about the plagiarism were because Jews leaked that shit out.
Jews took out somebody that wasn't being a good Shabbos. It doesn't matter if she was black or anything. It could have been any Shabbos, anyone of any race, color, or creed. If they were not taking a hard line against pro-Palestinian protests and conduct on campus, they were going to go. Like, you didn't get her. Didn't get shit. And Bud Light is doing great, as is Target, as is Disney.
Yeah, what are they talking about? None of these things have been taken out. They maybe had a drop in revenue.
They won a Twitter bans war with some of these things. But let's look at the... Somebody posted some stocks right here. Target has fully recovered its stock price. It looks like we're almost fully recovered.
Well, but additionally,
I
actually don't think that any. I don't think any right wing campaign had anything to do with Target.
Look at Anheuser-Busch. Yeah, Target was doing something with Pride last June. I don't know.
They removed some Pride displays, and it was the left that said they were going to take out Target because they took some gay shit out of their stores.
But there's Anheuser-Busch has basically recovered almost in its entirety of its stock price since was this the controversy here? Was this with the Dylan Mulvaney? Yeah. It's like, you didn't take Bud Light out. You didn't take anything out.
Dylan Mulvaney seems to have disappeared from the scene, but, like, you know,
according to the New York Post, Claudine is still going to get paid. So to keep her in her $900,000 annual salary despite resigning as university president.
Oh, is that why she resigned? That's why she didn't resign until 2024? She worked one day in 2024 to make sure that she got that fucking salary. Hey, that's smart. I'll give her credit for that. Go Gay. Good for Gay. Keep that shit. Keep that money. Fuck the Harvard Corporation. Get that girl. Get that child support.
You earned it.
Yeah.
The Jews came and took your job.
I'm on Gay's side in this. Keep that money.
Hell yeah.
Fuck Harvard.
Fuck Harvard and fuck DC Drano. In Drano shit.
But I mean,
the idea that you and Christopher Rufo tweeting about the plagiarism, the fucking, like, the plagiarism scandal is the thing they always have over our head that they can fucking snap anytime they want. And
you
they
only
did
got
it.
That because Jews
they didn't do
that
it because they didn't do it because you were offended, Drano or Rufo. Yeah. They did it because they were mad. And they wanted to, like, this is a giant signal to, like, all camp high all over the country. It's like, we're not going to tolerate this, and we're going to come for your job, so get in line.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how they manage these things. Like, there's not going to be any, like, backlash against DEI. There's not going to be anything done about the border. There's not going to be anything pro-white that's going to be done. They've sent the message here. We'll take out the president of Harvard. We'll do it. We don't care how many protected classes she's a member of. We will take her out if she's not doing what we want. They don't tie up these loose ends ideologically by like coming to the table to negotiate with Spencer Quinn or the dissident right or the DC Drano or Christopher Rufo or anybody involved in this stuff this. Like faux racial politics conservative movement.
And,
they don't come to you. They send this out, and now everybody knows.
Which is like Christopher Rufo. So here's what Christopher Rufo says. This is the beginning of the end for DEI and American institutions. We will expose you. We will outmaneuver you. And we will not stop fighting until we've restored colorblind equality in our great nation. But that was never the issue with Claudine Gay. What really happened, Christopher Rufo, what really fucking happened is that you played a minor role in getting Jews in the Jewish move to basically force the liberal institutions to give Jews a pass on committing genocide. If Jews were not committing a genocide, Chris Rufo, and you were not being actively complicit in it, you would never have scored this victory. You can only score this victory, Christopher Rufo, because you have decided to side with Jews as they commit genocide.
Yep.
That's what got you this minor victory. You got one nigger kicked out of Harvard. And it's totally inconsequential in the greater scheme of things. It will not score a single blow against DEI. It will not score a single blow for your so-called colorblind equality, because the fucking Jewed-up conservative movement that you're a part of puts niggers out in front on an unprincipled basis just as much as anything else. So you got this one black woman kicked out of Harvard because Jews simply wanted her to make her campus shut up about Jews committing a genocide. And you were willing to help them do that. That's what's actually happening. So you, Christopher Rufo, are simply having to be complicit in the murder of thousands of children in order to score this minor little blow that doesn't in the long run mean shit. That's what's really happening, Christopher Rufo.
I got to say, you can't... I don't think like telling Americans that they're murdering thousands of children like phases them at all. That's the only problem.
I don't care.
That's the only problem.
Just
now
say
it's like it's like
it's
these,
true. Like whatever.
It's like when you take the side of Jews and you're an American warmonger, like you think like, "Oh, cool, we're killing kids. Are they kids of people I don't like?" It just doesn't really...
For the Jews told
me
not to
boy.
Like,
yeah.
I don't really give a shit. I'm going to say it anyway, like whatever.
I'm reading Christopher Rufo's Twitter.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing too. Which one?
Maybe big mistake, but actually
yeah,
probably,
big mistake.
Probably golden opportunities for good content to just
she resigned because conservatives Christopher Rufo, Bill Ackman, and Elise Stefanik made it clear they weren't going to stop coming for her job. They bullied this woman out of her job and are happily dancing on the grave. For them, this is about the larger mission of unseating a black person they didn't feel was deserving.
Okay.
Wait, what? Who's saying this?
Somebody that is being retweeted by Christopher Rufo.
Oh, okay. I was going to say it doesn't sound like it.
So and then he's refuting this?
No, I think we can get rid of black people, too. We can cancel black people.
Unseating a black person they didn't think was deserving. No, this had nothing to do with that. Was she not deserving because...
Not because of plagiarism.
She wasn't Zionist.
Boy, this is so stupid.
Because she was refused to say that like anti-Israel chants on campus were unacceptable conduct in a menacing and intimidation that needed to be shut down. It didn't go against...
Right, like that's literally all that it is. Like there is nothing more to it than that. Trying to make it about something more than that she basically refused to shut down free speech that is anti-Israel.
Right.
That is like what they're, that is all this is.
I mean, this is, and then he's
there's
like,
nothing else to this. Like, just get the fuck out of here.
It's glorious. Academics defending plagiarism, journalists opposing journalism, newswires attributing scalping to white colonists, everyone focusing on the frame we set. That's how the game is won. It's like, my God, this is not the frame,
frame
you set. You didn't frame.
Frame.
You are playing your part in a frame set by the fucking Jews, my dude. Like, this is how you like launder stuff. It's like you launder like the firing of a disloyal shadow.
Well, they've also taking a bunch of fucking credit for this. Lets Jews off the hook for
that's
doing
what I'm
it.
Saying. It's
amongst the left. Like you're taking the flack. Yeah. You're taking the flack from all these fucking angry leftists who are going to attribute it to this stupid shit you're doing. When Jews are sitting there like, yeah, we did this, and now we don't have to take the blame. Like Zionism doesn't have to take the flack from this multiracial coalition of the left. It's going to be attributed to a bunch of white people going after a black woman. Oh my God, these people are so fucking stupid.
Here's somebody else he retweeted.
Make Jews at least own it.
The Christopher Rufo playbook of ideological warfare. 1, discover something bad about your enemy. 2, publicize it loudly, widely, with plentiful proof. 3A, if they fix it, they lose face by surrendering to you. 3B, if they don't, they lose face by knowingly being bad. 4, gloat.
How does that work on like the whole Hunter Biden situation?
No, him. You just look at pictures of his penis.
Well, no, but it's also like, but they're leaving out the part where like have like massive amount of Jewish millionaires and billionaires and donors and media outlets like side with you and put pressure on the person. Like,
oh my God, I could read these all day. The DEI vanguard is going completely apoplectic in the aftermath of Claudine Gay's fall. It has shaken them to their core. They sense their vulnerability. Their tried and true tactic of screaming racism to maintain power is becoming increasingly ineffective. We will win.
I haven't actually seen that very much. Maybe there are people doing it on Twitter, but like amongst like people publishing editorials and stuff, because again,
go to therightstuff.biz/paywall for your subscription today.
When you look at the mainstream media, it's totally run by Jews. There's not really any media outlets that are out there saying this was a race thing.
I don't understand why Christopher Rufo seems to think that he's responsible somehow.
Because he put out the plagiarism stuff on Twitter.
Because it's the same kind of thing with DC Drano. It's like tweeting doesn't do anything. Like they're just claiming that the tweeting did the thing.
Right. He publicized the allegations about plagiarism on Twitter. Now, they came from someplace else initially. But he was the New York Times also, I mean, the New York Post also did. So the New York Post could also take credit for this, right? Additionally, the New York Post had even the benefit of that like Harvard tried to actually silence them. Like Harvard actually tried to threaten them legally to not reveal the information. And then so they had that feather in their cap.
But was this an ongoing thing at Harvard though, right?
No, it was an internal investigation that they had brushed under the rug and were just going to let her get away with it until the Jew thing.
It's not something that Christopher Rufo pulled out of the closet.
No, it was leaked to him. It was leaked to him and by a Jew in Harvard. Like, again, I'm assuming that some Jew, maybe it was Alan Garber himself. Maybe Alan Garber was the fucking leaker that gave this stuff about the plagiarism investigation that they had undertaken to Christopher Rufo to put out there. He didn't even discover it. It was leaked to him. So he could literally be like the Shabbos Goy like guy who, so he could do the fucking song and dance that he's doing now and ultimately take the credit and take the flack from, oh my God.
You got these online conservatives talking about my part in taking down Claudine Gay. It's like, but you just reposted some leaked information while the wheels were already turning to get rid of her? Like what?
Yeah, well, that was the thing. He was part of the process. Like he was used as part of the process to remove her. Like that's how the plagiarism. That's why the plagiarism stuff exists, and that's why it was leaked to you.
Right. Like this wasn't even the only one it was leaked to.
Yeah, it's just like
it's leaked to a bunch of people.
It's just fucking silly. What else we are? Dear Heart. This is Christopher Rufo himself. This is not a retweet. Dear Harvard, abolish DEI. Adopt a policy of colorblind equality. Rebalance faculty politics. Wind down activist pseudo-disciplines. Sign the Calvin Statement. Do justice to Sullivan, Fryer, Hooven. Restore truth to the highest, or we will keep coming after you. relentlessly. You're not going to keep coming after them. You're not going to have anything.
No, you're not.
They're not going to hand anything over to you. Like, you're not going to be handed any weapons.
Yeah, you
to, like,
don't
slay
have any
dragons
else.
With. Like,
what are you going to? What are you going to go after Alan Garber with, Rufo?
They're not going to abolish
when,
DEI.
When Alan Garber
they're not
doesn't
gonna,
do these things, what are you going to go after him with?
There's no policy of colorblind. And let me if Garber has a plagiarism scandal, you're not going to be able to get him on it.
You're not
going to
get
you're,
him
you're
on it.
It's gonna be, it's going to be a stone wall, like a wailing wall made of stone you can't knock down. I wish they understood this. It's very sad to watch this. I mean, it's just another one of these things. Like, do they know this
Rufo's
is
Rufo's understanding of it is questionable, whether he does or doesn't, and just a willing participant.
Oh, my
but like,
God.
These people that are on Twitter are celebrating this as if, no, it's simply a victory for Jews. Like, that's all that it is. And it's basically, Jews now have more people. Basically, Jews are one step further down the road of having people in elite institutions scared to oppose Zionism
exactly.
vocally because they might lose
exactly.
their
exactly.
That's what's happening.
Not even support it vocally, tacitly just let someone else do it because of the First Amendment.
Right.
Because that's what Gay was doing.
Well, they need to also, they made them scared of allowing
right.
anti-Israel stuff on
yeah,
their campus.
She didn't vocally support Palestine or support
No,
Israel.
She never did.
She just said that didn't violate that technically didn't violate the code of conduct. Yeah.
She supported Israel. She like everyone else went out there and said she was devastated. You know, all these fucking people that go out there and they say on Twitter or wherever else, I'm devastated by the attack on October 7th. Like, did you say you were devastated by the murder of 20,000 mm-hmm. innocent people, including like 10,000 kids?
Like,
are you devastated by that?
It's a devastated shitting street.
Are you devastated? Are you devastated by an entire city being laid waste? Thousands of people dead and displaced, people in refugee camps, people starving. Are you devastated by that?
So he's got Rufo's.
No,
got
I'm devastated by like some Jew kids having their fucking rave party broken up. Fuck you.
So Rufo's got some like tweet storm thread on how to fix academia that he made in November on November 9th that he just like retweeted it because he thinks the door is open to all this stuff. It's just dumb shit, like how to fix
or
academia.
He's engaging in an act. I don't know, you never know with these people. We should just treat them as if their public persona is what they actually think, because
I think this is what they think. Like, he thinks the door is open.
I think it's
like
what he might think. Yeah,
he thinks there's like a massive reform of academia about just on the we're just on the cusp of it. It's like, no, you're not. But he's being like, reduce the flow of federal funds to universities, privatize the student loan market, oh God, and make colleges partially responsible for student defaults, abolish DEI bureaucracies, wind down activist pseudo-disciplines, reform faculty hiring to restore ideological balance. That is literally never going to happen. Punish the universities that discriminate on the basis of race. Do you understand that right now the policy is to just discriminate based on race?
No, he understands that.
Like, they're not going to start punishing that for a standard operating procedure of excluding whites.
No.
The federal funding to uphold standards
do,
of civil discourse.
Just have more Jews classes white and just let in more Jews.
Tie federal funding to upholding standards of civil discourse and debate. Like, no. Like, how about no? They're just not going to do any of this.
No. Fuck that.
They're
actually,
not do
fuck
any of that
entirely, though. Fuck that shit. Like, that is a premise is something I'll reject just on its own.
Okay.
Like, that's not even a good idea. Fuck that. Let the federal government step in about what isn't like proper discourse.
That's
fuck
fair.
You.
Okay, that's
get
a,
the fuck out
that's
of here.
A, that's a rake. But well, they're assuming that you're going to allow more conservative speech when you do that. That they're going to step in and be like, "All right,
no, but just on the basic grounds of like America and the First Amendment, I would say
that's
fuck
true.
You. Like, that's not something that this country wants to happen. No, right. Nobody wants that shit.
Big deal.
But it's funny that you basically want state enforced conservatism.
Yeah. Well, it's because it can't get a leg up any other way because it's a terrible ideology that no one believes.
Right, because it actually sucks so much.
I mean, literally, that's a problem. A problem that Jews around this country have is they need something else now. Like, this conservatism stuff is like it's not going to work as a good.
That's why they're
it's not a serviceable
kind of
foil anymore. Like, they're going
to
need something else. That's why Donald Trump
trying
like
to craft
they want to be
like
they want to be rid of what they
cool,
want to be rid of like
gay.
I don't think they're trying to. They want to be rid of Donald Trump MAGA stuff, but I don't know what else they can go. Like, it's become more retarded than ever because conservatism just is intellectually unsatisfying. The pop version of it is just like the things they come up with are always wrong. They literally do come up with conspiracy theories that aren't that crazy. They're just usually wrong. You look at them for 2 seconds, like, oh.
Well, the funny thing is that the MAGA Trump stuff. like outside of Trump himself, who maintains a certain amount of popularity, is actually like highly is actually like less popular than like basic bitch like rhino conservatism. Like people don't like it. Like the politicians that represent it, the spokespeople, it's like the clown show, the retard clown show of MAGA,
yeah,
doesn't do well outside of like just the actual man himself, Donald Trump.
Right.
People actually really don't like it, and it always fails, and it doesn't. The people that run on that shit don't really get elected. So I don't know. But yeah, it's just.
Well, it's kind of the thing is all that right-wing conservative stuff. It's positioned to just be sort of a joke that libtards can feel smug about.
Yeah.
It's like lowered the status hierarchy in America.
Yeah.
On purpose.
Yeah. Libtardism is also kind of like really stupid, though. So like basically Jewish proxy ideologies are retarded.
Libtardism is stupid, and those people are surprisingly ignorant, but it's still like culturally positioned as being like intellectually superior.
Yes, you are of high status with that stuff. You're a Brahmin.
And essentially, this is the fundamental issue that Jews are dealing with, is how do we what they actually want to do. And if they were capable, if they did this successfully, it would be the ultimate death knell for all Christopher Rufo's and all of this shit. If they could unstick, like, being super Zionist from this low status conservative thing, you know, because a lot of that shit is like, you know, like it's actually a problem, because there was a time when Zionism was acceptable to liberals, like in the 60s and 70s. It was. And the reason was because. You could legitimately say, I'm talking libtards, not like hard leftists, but again, you know, increasingly the libtards have become like on the identity shit, they've become hard leftists, and the hard leftists have become libtards on like the economic stuff. But in the 60s and 70s, when like the moderate libtard was not like pro-Soviet, when they were sort of like, you know, they're like, well, I like the idea of economic equality, but the Soviets go way too far, blah, 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 blah. You know, like that kind of thing, right? But, you know, they could legitimately position Israel as an underdog, a little teeny underdog state surrounded by hostile Arab neighbors who are being armed by the USSR. So it was like an acceptable thing for a libtard to be like, well, I do support the Zionists. I do support the Jews in there. They just have a little state. They just do a little, they just have some little collective farms in the desert there. And these big, meany Soviet armed Arab states are threatening them all the time. Like that was something that you could think. Not so much anymore, though. It's because it's obvious the way the balance of power is going. So
it's obvious because you've got Israeli ministers that just openly talk about relocating Gazans, like committing an ethnic cleansing.
They openly talk about like killing all of them, dude. Like we're well beyond even just relocation. There we have guys it's that like, are just saying like,
if any other country,
they're willing to just want to kill them all.
If any other country on this planet did that, they would at least get some pushback, like serious pushback. If Russia,
no other country on the planet does that.
Yeah,
even like the most evil ones, according
imagine if like members of like the Russian cabinet were saying this kind of shit about.
I mean, the closest thing you have is like some of these African tribes that are like cut down the tall trees or whatever. Like,
yeah, right.
You know,
yeah, but it's.
But that's straight up barbarism, and everybody recognizes it as such. Yeah,
it's really funny. I follow certain geopolitical people that are more moderate, and even they treat fucking Africa like it's children, like it's just infants there.
You can't. I know. I also am a follower of YouTube geopolitical commentators, and yeah, they just don't take it seriously. Like
they don't treat them as if they have any agency. It's just like, nah, those are just squabbling, violent children. We can't really apply the same standards
it's
here.
It's always about like what proxy nation, what sponsor nation is involved in this or that thing. Is it France? Is it America? Is it Russia? Like what, you know? It's just like thinly veiled colonialism. But there's also an element to it where it's like when all those coups were happening in Africa earlier in the year or earlier last year. And everyone's like, oh, Russia's behind it. I was like, I don't really think so. I think that the niggers are just doing this shit and be like, hey, Russia, come sponsor us now that we've taken over the government. And the Russians are like, maybe, you know, depending, but. Like in Gabon. Funny. Remember there was like a coup in like Gabon and everyone's like, is Russia flexing its muscles? Like, why would Russia even bother? Like, it's just probably more of a headache than it's worth.
I don't think they're that active in the region. I could be wrong.
Wagner was pretty active in the region and they were doing shit to like fuck up Western interests in Africa. But it's like, I don't know if they wanted to just openly like sponsor these fucking nigger governments, you know. The Sudan thing, the funny thing is in the Sudan, there's like a civil war, but both sides are pro-Russia.
Of course.
And Russians do have an interest there because they have a Red Sea port. They have a Red Sea naval base, which is like, that's definitely something that Zog does not want Russia to have, is a naval base on the Red Sea. That is absolutely not something they want them to have. Because that's way too close to the fucking mothership. But I mean, the fact of the matter is what this Israel-Gaza war has really revealed is that for the entire liberal Western world, the liberal Western post-war order, in fact, it has been revealed that it is not about neoliberalism or liberalism or upholding a liberal democratic world order and stability, something that we never really bought, but I guess people kept talking about. But it's really just about protecting Israel.
Yeah. Well, that's
like once everything is subordinated to that, every single thing. Like when the mothership came under attack, all of these large nations outside Israel, which shouldn't really have any reason to give a fuck about this little fucking pissant country, just swung into action. So,
yeah.
Special.
I don't know.
Well, I guess we can kind of wound down to a break there. It's a little early. Might as well just take it.
I kind of ran out of gas on these conservatives actually thinking that.
Never.
We could just reiterate the point again.
You want to read some more? I mean, I could read some more Rufo before we go if you want. I mean.
Well, let's hit me with some more of this. I'm a little bit. It's a little warm in here. Heat on a little bit too high, so cool me down a little bit with some Rufo takes.
Who's Jemele Hill? Oh, the uphill memoir lady. She's from Fox News, right? Anyway.
Is she black? That sounds like a black. Yeah, that sounds like a
Negress. Yeah, she's a Negress. I recognize her face. Oh, no, I think she's from ESPN? I can't fucking remember. Contributor writing for The Atlantic. Born and raised in Detroit.
Oh.
I could have sworn. I don't know. I think she's from ESPN.
So she's a sports journalist.
So she says, she resigned because conservatives Christopher Rufo, Bill Ackman, and at least Stefanik made it clear they weren't going to stop coming for her job. Oh, this is the one McNabb read earlier. I'm sorry. They bullied this woman out of her job and are happily dancing on the grave.
Bill Ackman isn't a conservative. He's a Jew.
Well, Jemele Hill is a nigger lady that does like football commentary. And it's about unseating a black person they didn't feel was deserving. See, with the conservative, though, that's kind of true. It's like, it's not that it was a black person. They don't feel it was deserving.
Well, if you think about it, there is sort of a hidden racial issue here. Because, like, so do you always assume a nigger at the top is the recipient of a benefit and is not the result of color blind?
Sven needs me to sign up for a paywall subscription at therightstuff.biz/paywall. Okay, Sven. I'm your number one guy. I'll do it.
Find equality, Rufo? Seriously, think about it. Like, what's your underlying assumption? When you see a nigger in a top position, do you assume they're the beneficiary of some kind of DEI process or favorable treatment?
They would say that they do.
Because I know that you do.
He does. You would think, I know that, you do. Think that person was selected rather than...
You know what they would say? Here's their cope. Their cope would be,
pardon me,
because of the existence of these preferential treatment programs, that actually harms blacks because now they're always going
to
be stigmatized as being diversity hires rather than simply getting the benefit of their own merits. And I'm like, yeah, but see, here's the problem, Rufo.
They're diverse.
There is never a situation except maybe arguably in sports, there is never a situation where a nigger is actually the best man for the job. There just isn't.
Right.
Except maybe in some sports.
Be willing to grant that in some sports. Even then, that's questionable.
Even then, it's because they don't look hard enough for whites to do those positions.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Even then, I'm only sort of tentatively asserting that. Right. And maybe if you want to do like drill rap or something like that, then you know, maybe a nigger is the best.
Oh, here we go.
Job. But like, so he other than that.
So hold on, he retweets this. And this sort of like, it's like, Rufo, this sort of negates your entire premise, and it fits into our narrative. But he retweeted someone named Adam Johnson, who writes, pardon me, articles about Claudine Gay and her various scandals were top 5 featured stories on the New York Times homepage, December 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 17th, 22nd, and 25th, and her firing is now their top story. There is simply no way this is proportionate, sober, or reasonable coverage. Is he trying to claim, like, because of his activism on Twitter, the New York Times was covering the story extensively? Or do you think there was something else going on here? Was there another effort afoot to remove a non-Shabbos nigger?
This because they were, like, deeply...
Because they're the ones that really did it. They're the ones putting the narrative out there that this woman has to go. Now she's gone,
there's a new article on the New York Times as of today.
I love the New York Times.
The word that undid Claudine Gay... The fate of Harvard's president is the latest evidence of a deep crisis. Yeah, Zionism.
It's Jew.
Israel.
Shalom. That's the word.
It's Shalom. That's the word that undid Claudine Gay. I'm actually want to read this now because I'm kind of curious because this might be like a little bit more on target with what really went on.
Well, let's take a break. Know. Look at it during the break, and if you think it's worthy, well, let's fucking go through it.
It's not that long.
Yeah. But let's take a break right now. I gotta have some lunch, intermittent fasting. Running around in the streets in a fasted state, not easy on the ankles.
This is stupid shit. This is annoying. We can talk about it, but it's already irritating me.
Okay, well, let's take a quick break, have lunch, and we'll be back.
You are listening to the Daily Shower. As racist and sexist as they can be. We're gonna offend you, isn't it funny? La 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 la.